Yud Ches Teves, Monday the 31st of December, Rabbi David Kahn, endangering one's life to save someone else, must you or may you?
Good morning. Here is, this question has many different ramifications, many different areas of practical halacha, and that is, take a case which may seem a little remote from us, and that is organ transplants, organ donations. Is one allowed to donate a kidney to a relative? Definitely putting oneself to a certain sakona. If you're a fireman, if you're a Hatzolah man, how much danger are you allowed to put yourself in order to save somebody else? If you're a lifeguard, and somebody's being schlepped away with a current, Rahman al-Islam, again, certainly a certain danger for you to jump in the water and save them. What level is permissible? On the one hand, there's a din of leisamid al dam reecho. On the other hand, there is a din of v'chaiboem. It's not one of the mitzvahs, which is yehorig v'aliavo. A doctor could have a case as well where he's going to treat a patient with a severely contagious, dangerous disease. And, of course, you have situations of soldiers in the army, and we won't get to this time, maybe we'll allude to it, but the very interesting question of the raid on Entebbe situation, was it mutter to send in soldiers to save the captives or not? What danger are you allowed to put soldiers in? And of course there's the question, are you allowed to save an Israeli soldier in captivity and free 1,000 prisoners, 1,000 dangerous people in order to be able to save one? Is that mutter? How do you weigh up the sophic sakona of one relative to another? That's really what in half an hour we'll try and get a little bit of an idea of. Just a couple of points, a couple of caveats that need to be made and said before we go any further is, number one, in shailas of pikuach nefesh, certainly where there's time, one needs to consult gedolei olam to be able to make these decisions. Clearly, if you're a lifeguard and you say, just a second, I've got to send a shaila to Ravozda, whatever it is, you're no use as a lifeguard, stay in the base of Medrash. So you've got to learn these dinim before you get to that situation. But wherever there is time, clearly these shailas need to be asked. And where these shailas are going to come up again and again, as a lifeguard, as a fireman, as a Hatzolah man, whatever it might be, as a policeman, whatever it is, one needs to know what are the parameters of where within which it's mutter, and what are the parameters outside of which we're not allowed to put ourselves into danger. The next thing is, I'll just mention it in passing, and that is, the Torah makes no difference between a person in uniform or outside of uniform. It doesn't make a difference whether it's an army uniform, whether it's a police uniform, whether it is a fireman's uniform. It makes no difference. It is uniform. A person is a person is a person. The values, the relative importance of a person's life, it makes no difference what they're wearing. It makes a difference. Each person is important in their own right. So we have certain Gemaras. I'd like to, if I can go through with you, and let's get a bit of an idea. And since we're at the end of Bereishis and the beginning of Shemos, I'd like to bring certain episodes from Sefer Bereishis and from this week's Sedra to be able to bring some light upon this question.
I just ask you, what do you mean by a uniform? Don't make any difference. Surely it's the nature of a job.
Right, but now the question is that there is a nature of a job, but the question is, does the halacha recognize the fact that you have a job to do? Does that make any difference as to the value of your life relative to the value of somebody else, when you've got a situation where you need to put your life on the line in order to be able to save somebody else? Yes, maybe we'll manage to get to it, to discuss about people involved in security when it comes to life-threatening situations to be able to save everybody else? Are you allowed as an individual to give up your life to be able to save a suicide bomber from coming in and killing hundreds of people? So these are situations. And the fact that a person is a soldier does not mean, although in the world, in the non-Jewish world, that's why I make that distinction. The distinction is made. In halacha, there is no difference whether you're a soldier or whether you are a civilian. Yeah, that's a question of getting our heads around that, because we're brought up in the Western world where we've been, so to speak, this has become a value of ours without us realizing it, and it's something we need to have a look and say, well, where is it? In Torah, does it exist? Yes? And we need to have a look at it and see. Let's start off as there's a Gemara, first of all, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Where do we know? Let's talk about the simple case of a roide. If somebody's trying to kill Reuven's trying to kill Shimon, from where do we know that we're allowed to kill Shimon, we're allowed to kill Reuven in order to save Shimon? So the Pasuk says, Talmud Loma, a very famous Pasuk, which we're going to read, Loisamoid al dam reecho, you're not allowed to stand idly by when there's somebody who's being killed, who needs to be saved. V'ho lahochi Yehuda, also says the Gemara, is that what it comes from? Ho, hai mi boile, we need this posuk, l'chadasanya for b'raisa. Minai l'royes chaveiro shutoveh abanohor. From where do we know that if you see somebody who's drowning in the river, oi chayo goyorosoi, or you can see a wild animal, is schlepping him away, oi listin boi malov, or armed robbers have taken hold of him, shehu chayev latziloi, you've got to save him. Now that case, surely, there must be some element of risk to you. If somebody's being dragged down a river, so then, surely, the currents in that river, it's going to be dangerous to save him. You might be able to, but there must be some element of risk. Similarly, if you're going to take on a lion, if you're going to take on armed robbers, then, in most situations, there's going to be some element of risk. And yet we see, the Pasuk seems to be telling us, the Braisa seems to be telling us, that nonetheless there seems to be a lo samoid al dam reecho aspect, you've still got to take some risk. Says the Gemara, Talmud lema lo samoid al dam reecho. Says the Gemara, enochanami gufo, minayin leroyes chavei yushu tevea benohar, oi chaya goyrosa, the Gemara repeats it again, oi listin boim alof shu chayv latziloi, tamad loim aloi samad al dam reecho. Says the Gemara, vah mehocha nafka, mehosom nafka. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from a surprising din. Avedas gufoi, he says, there we learn from, says the Gemara, avedas gufoi minayin. How do you know that part of Hashavas Avedo is also, and this is where we learn the second din, we've got two limudim. One is loisamad al dam reecho, and the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the other one is that there's, as well as if you find someone's wallet, you find somebody's watch, you've got to return it, to endeavor to return it to them. If you find, so to speak, we don't think of it in these terms, but if you find somebody's person, somebody's self, how can you find somebody, how can somebody have lost themselves? There's only one way to lose yourself, and that is a person's in danger. Says the Gemara, because it says in the Pasuk, v'hashevoi soi loi, you should return him back to himself. Gemara, says the Gemara, from here you learn that there's a chiyuv to be matzil, to save somebody's life. Says the Gemara, imi asom, hava mine hanimile benafshe. I might have thought that you've only got to do it with your own, you've got to put your own efforts to save him. Avol mitrechu mega gure emeloi. I might have thought, I'm not mechuyev to go and hire a rescue team. Talmud loima. So the Gemara says, komash malon, that I'm even mechuyev. When it comes to Shabbos Aveda, I'm not mechuyev to go through a great expenditure to do it. That's not for now exactly how much yes and how much not. But when it comes to saving somebody's life, you've got to pull out all the stops and all funds and resources available. One has to put them to the cause to be able to save somebody else. So that's the Gemara. Now the Rambam says, Kol hayocha lahatzil, v'loi hitzil, it's in Perek Aleph Mehilchas Witzeach, anybody who's able to sell, to save somebody else, and he didn't, over al leisamos al dam reichos. The Rambam passes this Gemara, v'chein horoyas chaver tover bayom, v'listim boy malov, etc., etc., and he goes through a whole lot of a list, and he says that you're chayev to save this person, but he does not explicitly, and the Rambam is a posek mefarish, as often the Rambam's called. The Rambam will explain. The Rambam does not mention anywhere that one is mechuyev to put one's own self at risk, to put all your money on the line to save somebody else, to put all resources that you have to the cause, yes, but to actually put yourself at risk. The Rambam doesn't quote, he doesn't say so. Who does say there's a Yerushalmi like this? Only a Yerushalmi. There's no Gemara Bavli. The Gemara Yerushalmi is quoted by the Kesef Mishnah over here, and it says by Yerushalmi Masik. The conclusion of the Gemara Yerushalmi is Afilu lahachnis atzmi b'sofik sakona chayev. You have to do it. The question is why, and the Kesef Mishnah says, of course. The Kesef Mishnah is the Shulchan Aruch, the same author. V'nira shatam mipnei shehaloi vadai, he says, and who's Sofik? He's definitely going to die if I don't attempt to save him. I'm only a Sofik, so therefore I'm allowed to put myself in a Sofik b'kuach nefesh in order to be able to save a vadai, or to attempt to save a vadai. That's what the Yerushalmi says. The question is, neither the Rambam nor Shulchan Aruch, and to go along the Rif, the Rosh, the Tor, nobody quotes this Yerushalmi. Everybody says, here I'll quote Shulchan Aruch Chesh Mishpat Tov Chav Vav, says the Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph Horoyes Chaveru Tovea Bayon Olistim Boy Malov Chayaro, etc., etc. He's got to try and save him. V'kiyotze b'dvorim elu Oiver Aloy Samud Al Dam Reecho. So it may be implicit that in all these endeavours there's going to be some element of risk, but none of the poskim actually say that one's mechuyev to put oneself at risk. In fact, the Sma picks up on this, and he quotes the Yerushalmi, that even to put oneself into sakana, there is a chiyuv, and he says the Beis Yosef has brought it, and the question is, why is it not quoted at all? He quotes the Yerushalmi with the reason. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah have missed it out. Says the Sma. Do you know why they missed it out? He says, Kibun Shaposkim, Horif, Horambam, Verosh, Lohiviu, Bepiskeim. Mishum Hoche, Hishmitu. That's why Shulchan Aruch missed it out. So what's going on here? The Pischei Tshuva is the first one who deals with it, and he says the following: I'm b'sefer agudas ezov me'agon moreno rav b'zev. He says shekosav tam nochin ma dehorif harambam v'rosh v'ator lohiviu divrei hayushalmi mishum desvirei de talmuda didon. But Bavli disagrees with Yerushalmi, poligal Yerushalmi. Vashom, the Sofa Sefer, he brings the name of the Radvaz, who says, Bepshitus, the Sveka Dide, Odif Mivadai de Chavre. You're not allowed to put yourself in any tangible danger in order to save somebody else. In other words, you're not allowed to, there's a din of a Chai Bohem. The din of a Chai Bohem, Loisamoid al Dam Reecho, is a love. But it's only a love, when I say only, in inverted commas, it's not one of the mitzvahs, which is one of the three mitzvahs, which is Yehorig Valiavo. So what should be the heter to put your life in danger in order to save somebody else? Nonetheless, there's a Gemara in Baba Metzia, which talks about an aveda of money. Somebody's lost something. And the Gemara says, if you have a situation, it says, like the Gemara says, if you have Avedoscho, the Mishnah says, and Avedas Chaveroi, so then the din is, you're potter from going to save Avedas Chaveroi, because Avedoscho Koidem, and there's a pasuk brought, Efes Kiloye B'cho Evyoin. The Gemara in Bob Metzia says, Kol hamakayim ba'atzmei kach, seif bo lidei kach. Very interesting. The Gemara says, although strictly speaking, if something of mine is about to be lost, and something of yours is about to be lost, I tend to my affairs, and I'm potter from tending to yours. If I'm overly meddactic, if I take no notice of yours, and I only see to my own concerns, the Gemara's warning us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the same. In other words, that in the end, although strictly speaking, Shura Sadin is that I'm not mechuyev, but if I don't put myself out a little bit in order to try and help somebody else, then it's not going to be, in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrange it, that I'm not going to gain from that situation. No. We're talking about purely an object. Purely somebody's property. My property is about to be lost, swept down the river, and so is yours. I can only save one of the two, or easily only save one of the two. So strictly speaking, I go for mine and not for yours. However, if there's any way that I can manage to put myself out so that I can save yours as well, I'm chuyev to do it. I shouldn't be thinking only about myself and not concerned with yours. So therefore, says the Radvaz, this refers to nefoshes as well. Although I've got to look after myself before I look after somebody else, the Radvaz warns us and says, be careful. Don't overstep the mark, because if in the end I end up only being overly concerned, I won't take any risk whatsoever to save somebody else, then, seif bo lidei kach, he says, that this will put a person, the lack of the schus of saving somebody else. So the Radvaz already alludes to that there is an element of risk, which is considered a risk which is acceptable, which is not yet considered a sophic nefoshes for me, that I've got to take in order to save somebody else. Where that line is, how to quantify that exactly, is something that we have no parameters in the poskim to tell us. But the Radvaz warns that there is an area that you've got to somehow put yourself in some danger in some way. I'd like to take a few examples. We've got a few examples in Chumash which certainly need thinking about. And those are the following. We have, just to give a few, we have, let's take Binyamin. Question is sending Binyamin down. Yaakov Avinu wouldn't send Binyamin down to Mitzrayim because he says, who knows what's going to happen to him. So the question is, are you allowed to send, of course the situation at the time was this Tzofnas Paneach, who was unknown who he was, had taken Shimon. In Mitzrayim, there were no courts of appeal, there was no nothing. Once you're in, behind bars, that's it. So Binyamin goes down, specifically he's been, so to speak, headhunted by Tzofnas Paneach. Who knows what's going to be with him? What was the heter to send him down? Esther Hamalko. What was the heter for Esther Hamalko to come in front of Achashverosh without being called? That was Opidera Chateva, that was certainly certain death. What about the Chashmonoim? Let's take Hanukkah we just finished with. What was the heter for them, against all odds, to Ein Simchum El Anes, to go and fight against the Avonim? What about Shimon and Levi? And this one I want to leave you with a little bit of a question. Shimon and Levi, they came to fight Shechem against a whole town. What was Yaakov Avinu's complaint? How did that work? Maybe we'll come back to that in a moment. And what about Avraham Avinu going to save Lot against the four kings? Remember, the four kings who had overpowered the five kings. So we're talking about significant power. There was Avraham Avinu, and certainly according to the Medrash, plus Eliezer, because everyone else disappeared. What would have been the heter to do that, especially as Lot, According to the Parsha, it was Oig Melech HaBoshen who came to tell Avraham Avinu, and his plan was that Avraham Avinu would never survive this, and then he would be able to take Sora. So therefore, clearly, Oig Melech HaBoshen thought Avraham Avinu didn't have a chance. What was the heter of Avraham Avinu to pursue in order to save Lot? So let's try and go through things one by one. Let's try and take it in chronological order. We'll start off with Avraham Avinu. So, Vayishma Avraham ki nishpa ochiv, Vayorek es chanichov yilidei beisei, Shmei nosash o shleish meis, Vayodif adon. Vayicholik aleem lailahu vavodov, Vayakim vayodifei matchoivis ad choivo, Hashem ismul ledamosek. So, we know what happened. There was a nes. Ein seyuchem ala nes. How was it mutter? So there is, first of all, this foreigner says, Vayudof adon, Bemerutzo levoy aleem pisoim. It was an ambush. So the what made the Sfano explain this? It was an ambush, and he continues. Vayicholik aleihem the tachbulo kedei sheyachshuvu shekomu kol hasviras aleihem. There was a tremendous commotion, so that they would think that they are being attacked from all angles, from all around. Kamoi, he says, shechoshvu arom baomrom ki socha melech Yisrael oleinu. So this was the Sfano, without asking our question, has addressed our issue, had our question, and has answered this, that there was an ambush, and there were war tactics of a nature that meant that one could definitely stand up and say, Avraham Avinu could see his way to winning this war the way this was, although he was clearly, greatly outnumbered. But nonetheless, that's the Sfanu. The Dals Kedem Yubani Atosus says, he says, Vayorek es chanichov, what was going on? There was definitely a large army to start off with. So he says, She'om lo'em Avraham, le'milchomo anu yotzim. Mi oish hayore me'aveu shebiyodoi, yelech v'yoshov leveisoi. Kiven she'shomu kach, holchu v'chozorem, v'lo'y nishayim Avraham, ki'im Eliezer, avdoi, om lo'y, so Avraham Avinu couldn't possibly go to war like this. So he starts off with a proper army. Avraham Avinu understood that the battles are not won. Lo b'koyach v'lo b'chayil kiim baruch yom Hashem. And therefore he said, anyone who's got Averus, stand to the side. Nobody left except Avraham Avinu and Eliezer. So, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham. Hanichu oischo. Hinichu oischo kulam. Everybody has let you down and gone away from you. Chayecho. I promise you, ani noisen koyach leliezer keneged kulam. That's what happened. That's where the 318 come from. There were 318 men, but they all deserted Avraham Avinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, he will have the power of 318 men. He says, v'inyan oisish eliezer, as we all know, yalu leminyan yudches v'sholish meis. V'chein masik b'peg dalad d'nadorim, v'hoid masik v'yorek es chanichov, rav omo shehirikon batoiro v'shmuel omo shehirikon bezov, k'dei shelo yeloem libom noite ela latzolos nefoshos. Basically, according to Daz Keni Banatosus, he had a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a guarantee that he wouldn't come to any harm. In such a case, no sofik nefoshos, no problem with Avraham Avinu. When it comes to Binyamin is an interesting situation. Why was he taken down to Mitzrayim in the end? Because Yehuda says, we're all going to die anyway. There's no point in Binyamin staying here. Quite right, it was dangerous to send Binyamin down, but otherwise, everybody is going to perish anyway. And then you've got a situation of what's called Chaye Shor. We're all going to, in such a situation, Yaakov and the Shvatim were only going to live for however long they had left, considering the food that they had left. So they were, so we call them terminally ill. Yes, externally terminally ill, that was the situation. That being the case, then certainly there's a situation that you're allowed, that's a whole sugya, one is allowed to enter again, a shailas to be asked before doing this, but in principle, a risky operation is allowed to be entered into if otherwise a person will certainly die, even if the chances of survival from this operation are extremely slim. This was actually the psak of Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, when Reb Eliashiv, Zeichet Tzadik Livrocha, when he was terribly ill, they came to ask him on Shabbos, came from Yerushalayim down to Bnei Brak. The operation apparently had a 5% chance of success. This was, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, and that was the psak. We had such a situation in London as well, and I asked around, Shaila came to me as well, where somebody had a situation where they had to have dialysis, otherwise they would definitely not survive more than 3 or 4 days, but the operation to put in the tubes to be able to start the process of dialysis was so dangerous that the doctors warned that the patient might easily not make it through this first operation just to put in the tubes. And I sent the Shaila to Rabbi Yashiv, and because over here in London no one was prepared to take responsibility for this, because there was a slim chance, and Rabbi Yashiv says you're allowed to take even the smallest chance against the psak of Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says it's got to be a sofek hashokul. And Rabbi Yashiv paskens, like the Achiezer, there's lots and lots to talk about, but there isn't time for it. But when it comes to that, someone is allowed to put Chai Shor, again, these must be asked, these Shailas must be asked, each and every situation will be different, one must ask a Shaila of, this is a Shaila for Gedoli Olam, and therefore in such a situation one's allowed to put one's own Chai Shor at risk, in order to save one's own Chai Olam. So since Binyamin was in a situation where he would starve as well, therefore it would be mutter. You're not allowed to put Reuven's Chai Shor on the line or at risk in order to save Shimon's Chai Olam. That you're not allowed to do. Hence, a lot of the problem with organ donation and questions about it is you're putting one in Sakona in order to save the other one. But with Binyamin, this helps. When it comes to Esther Malko, how is she able to put herself in danger? So the answer is, Achashverosh didn't know that she was from Klal Yisrael. So therefore she could have been able to save herself. So to that, one answer given by the Mefarshim is, in the end, Mordechai warned her that it would be found out, Al Tadami Benafsheich, because Ki'ovit Tevedu, because in the end, they're going to find out who you are, and you'll also be killed. So therefore, she was in a situation where she was also in a Chai Shor situation. It was a question of time before she would be her roots would be discovered, and therefore she was also in a Chai Shor situation. The Meiri answers and says that there was another question of the question of Gilui Arroyas, how is she able to be married to Achashverosh? Tosfos gives one answer of Karka Olam, but the Meiri gives an answer, although it's Yehorig Vali Avori, but Hatzola Derabim Shani. Hatzola Derabim Shani. To be able to sell, to save Klal Yisrael is different. Maybe that answer will work for going also, for putting her life at risk of going to the king when she hadn't been called. When it comes to the Chashmonoim, it was a Shas Hashmad. That one is relatively easy. When it comes to the situation of Shimon the Levi, is a very interesting one. Shimon the Levi, how could they go into Shechem and fight? Why weren't they putting themselves, their lives on the line? So the Mefarshim say that was the whole ploy of the Bris Milah. That no one there had the courage to fight them. In which case, Al Pi Derech HaTeva, they were able to overcome the whole city, and they were able to make a sensible decision here that this was not putting themselves in danger. Yaakov Avinu didn't have any complaints against them for putting their lives in danger. Yaakov Avinu's complaint was, Acharotim v'sila v'sheni, v'nes v'olai, v'hikuni v'shmati ani uveisi, that everybody else was going to gang up against B'nai Yaakov Uvonov and was going to wipe them out. So his taina was, you've put us all at risk. You're not allowed to do it. And Shimon the Lady's answer was, Hachazona yaseh sachisenu. How did that address the question? If they would have said that we had no reason to suppose that that would be the reaction of everyone around, okay. But they didn't. Their reaction was, Hachazona yaseh sachisenu. But surely, even if that is a case, Yehorig val yavoir, is not going to apply, is going to apply to the person who's in the situation. But it doesn't apply to going to save somebody else and landing up as a result in a situation where one, even if it is Gilah Arayos, to save from Gilah Arayos, there's no heter to put yourself in danger. It's just that you mustn't succumb to do the Aveiro, but there's no heter to save somebody else from the Aveiro being done in order to... By the way, the same question one can think about Pinchas. So one has to know what was the dialogue here between Shimon and Levi and Yaakov Avinu. Something for another time. But seeing as we're running out of time, what I can to end off with is the following. That it would seem that to put oneself, we asked various questions in the beginning, giving an organ is generally accepted that since when it comes to a kidney, the person can live without. If a person is perfectly healthy and the chances are slim that a person will come to any danger, generally speaking, people don't die because their kidneys fail, it's because other parts fail, and therefore one can live quite happily with one kidney, and therefore if a person is healthy and strong, so the heter is, as the Radvaz says, although you mustn't put yourself in a sofik hanikeres, but in a situation where the risk is extremely slim, in that case, there would be a chiyuv, there would be, that once mi shabole dekach, sofer levole dekach, says the Radvaz, a person, a small amount of danger, one's mechuyav to put oneself into. As a fireman, as a lifeguard, as all these situations where there might be a certain danger, one has to weigh up the danger. If it is a small amount of danger, one's mechuyav to do it in order to save somebody else. If it is a large amount of danger, one's not allowed to do it, to put oneself in any significant danger in order to be able to say. When it comes to the situation, I'll briefly mention the question on the Radon and Tebi is a very interesting question, and with that we'll finish. But it's been very interesting. I think halachically, although it was a nes gadol moed, but it was also to do it. It was also to do it. And I'll tell you something, at the time, Rav Shach said, apparently, Rav Shach says that it was a wild, it was quite wild what they did. I gave a shiur about this in quite a Zionistic forum, and I went through it and we went through it, and somebody came to me afterwards and said, my cousin is very high up in the army, and they went through this Radon and Tebi episode, they looked through it again, and they said, if we were presented in such a situation again, would we do the same thing again? And they came to the conclusion, we must have been crackers. We must have been meshuggah to go and do it. Because you're not allowed to put the soldiers at war. What's the difference between war and this? Real war is a situation where everybody is in a chai-shah situation. If you don't fight, everybody's going to die anyway. So therefore you go out. But in this situation, it wasn't necessarily like this. The only thing one needs to consider is the deterrent aspect. And that is something which you need, Gedolei Olam, because you won't find much of a makom. I've got one makom for it from the Gemara in Eruvin, but I don't have the time to get to explain to you now. There is one makom possibly in it from Eruvin, but one needs a psak from Gedolei Olam to deal with situations of Radon and Tebi. You need to situations where you're going to release 1,000 murderers in order to be able to save one soldier. And you need to know, if you had a gun or a rocket launcher and you could shoot down the plane which was going to the planes that were on their way to the Twin Towers, and you got 400 innocent passengers on board, is there a het? What's the right thing to do? Should you shoot them down or not? Again, much more for another time, but these are great shilas that we need the Gedolim to help us with.